Welcome to Table Flippers Podcast. Table Flippers is an outreach of Greater Works Christian Church here in Lancaster, California. I am your host, Robert Enos, along with Chippy the Chipmunk.
If it wasn't for me, no one would listen to this show. It's all about Chippy.
Get ready to be challenged, to be confronted with truth and reality, and get ready for a revolution. It's found at Table Flippers.
Oh, boy. Here we go again.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Thursday, May 16th, 3:30 p.m. We are going to have an exciting episode today. I have two things that I want to read to you. Actually, three things I think I want to read to you. But two of those are articles, and I want to read them to you. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is I, Robert A. Enos. A stands for outstanding. I know that might sound confusing to some of you because outstanding actually begins with an O, but I am so outstanding that my outstanding starts with an A, similar to awesome. So anyways, I'm glad that you are here for Table Flippers Podcast with Robert Outstanding Awesome Enos and my little sidekick. Where did he go? Where did Chippy the Chipmunk go? Well, he's around here somewhere. I'm sure you'll hear from him. I also have Mambo in the studio. Well, okay, I take it back. Mambo's here in the building, but he's outside of my office, so he's outside of the studio. But he was here eating a pig's ear earlier. If you don't know who Mambo is Mambo number 5. My wife's little puppy, my little buddy. We named him Mambo number 5 because we have 4 kids. And when we got him, he's number 5. So, Mambo number 5. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I have some interesting things that I want to talk to you about today. But I want to start with reading you the Second Amendment of our Constitution. Yes, the Second Amendment. One of my favorites. I really love the first one, okay, because that gives me freedom of speech. Freedom of religion, it doesn't give it to me. It just states it because God gave it to me. But the Second Amendment protects the First and all the other amendments, all the Constitution, all of our rights. The Second Amendment protects. The Second Amendment of our Constitution says this: a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Period. So the right of the people, that's you and I, citizens of the United States, not people here illegally, people, citizens of the United States, you've been born here and you're in good standing, no felonies, you have the right to keep and bear arms, and that shall not be infringed. And yet we see so many states, so many governmental not only people, but entities trying to regulate, trying to, you know, say, you can't carry here, you can't do this, no open. It's ridiculous. Especially, see, I live in California, ladies and gentlemen, and this is ridiculous here. If I technically want to transport one of my weapons from one place to another, there's a whole series of things that I have to go through to be legal. And yet, in our Constitution, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. I'm waiting for the people of California just to ignore all the so-called laws and rules in California because the Constitution trumps them all and just start arming themselves. And if they get caught, I'm waiting for some really good lawyers that will take it, if need be, all the way to the Supreme Court and fight it. But we're just not seeing that on the level that we should be seeing it anyways, ladies and gentlemen. But nonetheless,
gun control is where you hit what you're aiming at.
There's a reason why I'm talking to you about this, the Second Amendment. There's a reason why I'm bringing this up. Because in our country right now, we're seeing a lot of goofy things happening in regards to firearms. And there's a lot of people out there that don't agree with firearms. Okay, then don't get one. All right? Don't get one. But please, leave the rest of us alone. You know, I know a lot of people that own firearms, handguns, rifles, hunting rifles, shotguns, you name it, assault weapons, the evil assault weapons. I know a lot of people that own them. And you know, none of the people that I know own these weapons has ever used them violently against another human being. I even know some people that are part of our local police departments. And you know, the people I know, I'm not saying have never had to draw their weapon out of caution, but never had to use those firearms against another human being. You see, so the reason I'm pointing this out is because if you just did any kind of real research across the board, how many people in the United States of America own firearms, and how many of those people, I'm going to say it like this, how many of them own them legally, and how many of those people actually have used those firearms against another human being, those numbers would be so minuscule, it would be embarrassing to the anti-gun crowd, the gun control crowd. Why do I know this? Who's brandishing firearms against other human beings? Typically, it's either law enforcement, criminals, which is the biggest number, criminals, murderers, criminals, and a very, 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 very small select group of people known as citizens protecting themselves and their families against criminals. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today in this, I want to read to you this article from the Daily Wire. And it just captured my attention. And the title is Governor Abbott. He's the governor of Texas. Governor Abbott pardons man who killed Black Lives Matter radical in 2020. This is by Ryan Saavedra. He published this May 16, 2024. So that's today. This was published earlier today. And again, this is dailywire.com. It says Texas Governor Greg Abbott granted a full pardon on Thursday to a man who was convicted in a Democrat county. Keep that in mind. Now, I'm just reading you this so far. I haven't even thrown in my two cents just yet, but keep that in mind. This man was convicted in a Democrat county in Texas of killing a Black Lives Matter protester who approached his vehicle while armed with an AK-47. All right? So, check it out, ladies and gentlemen. This Black Lives Matter protester, remember those peaceful protesters? Those peaceful protesters that weren't out to hurt anybody, but just let their voices be known, be heard, and let their presence and their voices be known, and just to try to calmly get their message across to the rest of us human beings. He approaches this man's vehicle, armed with an AK-47. AK stands for all killing. 47 stands for how many people you can kill with that rifle with one magazine. I'm being facetious, ladies and gentlemen, because the Democrats don't seem to know what a quote-unquote assault rifle is. And they have these, they come up with the strangest ideas. I love it because I heard a Democrat talking about, a liberal dude talking about how you don't go hunting with an AR-15. And the reason is when you shoot. When you shoot an animal, you shoot a deer, let's say, you shoot a deer with an AR-15, there's nothing left of the deer. It just like blows up. So if they can, ladies and gentlemen, I've been hunting before with weapons that were far bigger than a 5.56 round in an AR-15. And I've never seen an animal just blow up. Anyways, stop it. I gotta get on with this. So AK-47, all killing 47. Okay, so sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I just you know, the liberal has become so funny to me that if we didn't have to live, I laugh at them in a situation like this because there's none around me. But if they were all around me, they would be making me mad. But when I just stop and think about it, and I don't have to deal directly with a liberal at the moment, it's actually quite funny. So enjoy life, ladies and gentlemen. This is 2024. Live it up. Have a great time. And if you have a hard time smiling or laughing, just look at a liberal. I mean, come on. Just look, look at your typical Democrat voter. If that don't make you laugh, you'll be crying. Anyways, let me get back to this. So this dude comes running up on this car. And he has his AK-47. So Daniel Perry, a 35-year-old U.S. Army sergeant, had been sentenced to 25 years in prison after he was convicted in Travis County on a murder charge from the incident. Perry insisted that he acted in self-defense during the incident and immediately called 911 and turned himself into law enforcement. the Texas Board of Pardons and Paroles conducted an exhaustive review of U.S. Army Sergeant Daniel Perry's personal history and the facts surrounding the July 2020 incident and recommended a full pardon and restoration of full civil rights of citizenship. Abbott said in a statement, among the voluminous that's a big word, files reviewed by the board, they considered information provided by the Travis County District Attorney, the full investigation report on Daniel Perry, plus a review of all the testimony provided at the trial. Texas has one of the strongest stand-your-ground laws of self-defense that cannot be nullified by a jury or a progressive district attorney. Abbott continued, I thank the board for its thorough investigation, and I approve their pardon recommendation. David, now, I'm going to try to say this word because the way it looks like it should be pronounced, ladies and gentlemen, almost sounds like a swear word to me. But it's David, and his last name is F-U-G-I-T-T. So I'm going to say Fugit because I don't like to use language that even comes close to sounding swearing. And David, I apologize. I don't know how to pronounce your word. Your name. So I really don't want to butcher it to the point that I'm, associating you with some type of swear word. So David Fugit, the lead investigating detective in the case, said in an affidavit, I'll get it out, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what's going on with me today. I was just laughing so hard earlier that my mouth won't line back up. David Fugit, the lead investigating detective in the case, said in an affidavit that District Attorney Jose Garza, whose campaign was backed by billionaire Democrat mega donor George Soros, acted with criminal behavior in the case. Yeah, let me just throw in something here. When is the United States, when is somebody, going to have the you-know-whats, the male appendages to go after George Soros? How is this wicked, evil man able to sway what we do here in the United States of America, politically, lawfully, whatever? This man keeps popping up everywhere, and he's a crooked, wicked dude. And people just keep buying into it. And people here in the United States of America, like this Jose Garza, takes his money. Just by virtue of that, I could tell you that this Jose Garza is not a decent dude. I mean, anyways, ladies and gentlemen, especially those of you in that Democrat-controlled portion of Texas, you need to get your voting together. And anything that's associated or anyone associated with George Soros is an automatic no, or should be an automatic no. Anyways, let me go on. It says, I've had several conversations with District Attorney's office regarding the presentation of exculpatory. So I'll get it out, ladies and gentlemen. The presentation of exculpatory, I think I said that right, exculpatory, yeah, evidence related to Daniel Perry. Fugit said, it became clear to me that the district attorney's office did not want to present evidence to the grand jury that would be exculpatory to Daniel Perry. On more than one occasion, I was directed by the Travis County Attorney's Office to remove exculpatory information I had intended to present to the grand jury during my testimony. He said of my original 158-slide PowerPoint presentation, the presentation was reduced to 56 slides with almost all of the exculpatory evidence ordered removed. I felt like I did not have any other options but to comply with their orders. Fugit said that that Garza's directive to forbid exculpatory evidence from being shown during the case is when the conduct of the district attorney's office went from highly unethical behavior to criminal behavior. And I agree with that, ladies and gentlemen. It is criminal. It is criminal. Criminal to lock this guy up who is just exercising his right to protect himself and his family from some guy running up to his car with an AK-47. Okay, an AK-47. So I don't know what this guy, who was it? Daniel Perry. I don't know what he used to defend himself, but it doesn't matter to me. I don't care if he pulled out a minigun and did the whole Arnold Schwarzenegger thing on him and mowed him down and cut him in half with it. It doesn't matter to me. If he did it in self-defense, he was right. He was okay. He constitutionally, legally, which gets back to the Constitution, he did what he was supposed to do. Second Amendment, once again, ladies and gentlemen, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security, of the free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, some of you may be wondering, well, that's because, no, that only applies to the militia. That's the militia. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, what a militia is. A militia, according to, what is this? The Merriam-Webster's Dictionary, was a body of citizens organized for military service. Okay, so it says here in the Second Amendment, we need a well-regulated militia, all right? And that militia has the right to keep and bear arms. And one of the number one reasons, if not the number one reason to do that, was to defend so that we, the citizens, could defend ourselves against a tyrannical government trying to take away our rights. And what have they been doing, especially in states such as New York, California, places like that? Taking away our rights, little bit at a time, chiseling away. But it says the right to bear arms should not be or shall not be infringed upon. So this gentleman that defended himself from this other gentleman running at him with an AK-47, he did the right thing, ladies and gentlemen, and should never have been convicted of this crime. So because of that, this district attorney, what was his name? Jose Garza, shame on you. Shame on you for number one, for taking George Soros's money. You know, you're, in my opinion, that's treasonous and you should be put behind bars as far as I'm concerned. But then to get this guy 25 years behind bars for defending himself and his family and not allowing, I mean, according to this one guy, approximately 2/3 of his evidence in these slides for his PowerPoint, 2/3 of them were dismissed and not accepted. Now, that's going way overboard. Now, you see, ladies and gentlemen, why we have the Second Amendment? To protect ourselves from people like this. To protect ourselves from those who are walking up to George Soros with those big, sad puppy dog eyes and with their hand out. Excuse me, sir. Can I have more? More of your money? More of your backing? More, more, more? God. I don't know if you guys remember that cartoon with all the little seagulls. Mine, 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 mine. That's the way these Democrats sound. You get a room full of Democrats and it sounds like that scene. What was that? It was Finding Nemo, I believe it was. Anyways, mine, 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 mine. Because they think everything is theirs. And you're not allowed to have anything unless they say you can have it. And if you have something that they don't want you to have or suddenly they don't like you, they'll take it. Mine, 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 mine. Hey. Anyways, so ladies and gentlemen, now you guys are beginning to understand why I say liberalism / the Democrat Party is just wicked and evil and not good for America. Not good at all. Not good at all. And we need to defeat liberalism everywhere that it's found. And how do we do it? Number one, we do it at the voting booth. Stop voting for it, ladies and gentlemen. Stop voting for these wicked people. Find out where they stand. And if they're against the Second Amendment in any way, don't vote for them. If they're for abortion in any way, don't vote for them. Let's start getting this nation back to righteousness. Anyways, my second article that I must bring to you, ladies and gentlemen, because it's something that we've been sort of talking about a little bit. So I want to follow up. And again, this was also published today. And the title of this says, University President Placed on Leave After agreeing to anti-Israel protest demands, including academic boycott of Israel. This is by Ash Shao. I believe that's how you say that. A-S-H-E-S-C-H-O-W. And again, that was published today, May 16, 2024, on Daily Wire. I'm just looking at the picture, and it's a ridiculous picture. It really is a ridiculous picture. Anyways, let me read this. It says, the president of Sonoma State University, SSU, in California. Oh, go figure that this is happening in California. I don't know. Was there a sign? I don't ever remember. I have had the chance to be able to drive in and out of this state at several places, up into Oregon, into Nevada, into, Arizona, even into Mexico. And not once do I ever remember seeing a sign that says, "Welcome, all you fruits and nuts." But somewhere there has to be, because they all ended up in California. What is it? Is it in the water? Is it in the water? Maybe that's why I drink bottled water and I don't drink the tap water. I don't know. Is it in the air? It might be. I mean, we talk about these chemtrails, and the chemtrails, I was always told, was to control the weather. I don't know. I think they're trying to control whatever. I mean, all I know is it seems like this is no longer the land of freedom, the land of plenty, the golden state, but the Goonie state. I mean, this is where all the fruits and nuts have ended up. I mean, come on, ladies and gentlemen, what's going on here? So anyways, let me say this. So the president of Sonoma State University in California has been placed on leave after sending an email on Tuesday announcing an agreement with anti-Israel protesters. SSU President Ming-Tung Mike Lee announced that the agreement with students who had set up camp on the school's Person lawn to protest Israel would include an academic boycott of Israel. The Press Democrat reported the boycott would mean that SSU would not pursue or engage with any study abroad program with Israeli state institutions, KCRA reported. I guess KCRA is a what, radio station? This was part of the 4 points of agreement Lee agreed to with the protesters to get them to remove their camp. So, ladies and gentlemen, remember, I believe it was last week I put out an episode. We talked about how there was this encampment put up on one of the colleges, and it was a Democrat governor who was, you know, they were giving... Oh, no, that was... Man, I had so many of these things. That was the Democrat governor in Colorado, not governor, mayor of a city in Colorado that had the demands from the illegal aliens that you better give us all this stuff. We're not going anywhere. And then there was the demands by the protesters that had built this little, you know, like the little fort, backyard fort. And they were hiding out in their fort demanding all of these things. This is ridiculous. And I said that, you watch, these Democrats are going to start caving in, because that's what Democrats do. That's just what they do. They cave in. They don't know how to stand strong because they have no principle. They have no values. They have no character. Nothing to really stand on. And it's whatever will make them look and feel good. So, sorry, Mike Lee, Ming-Tung Mike Lee, but you fell into that trap. You fell into that trap. Anyway, so let's go on with this. I'm all over the place, I know, ladies and gentlemen. My mind is just reeling with all these things. This is also part of the agreement was a promise to disclose university vendor contracts and seek divestment strategies, the outlet reported. Lee also said the university would create an advisory council of students for justice in Palestine. Last week, survivors of the October 7 terrorist attack on Israel sued SJP and other anti-Israel groups, claiming the group had links to the terrorist organization Hamas, The Intercept reported. On Wednesday, one day after Lee sent his email, California State University Chancellor Mildred Garcia issued a statement denouncing the agreement and saying the email had been sent without the appropriate approval. The board's leadership and I are actively reviewing the matter and will provide additional details in the near future. For now, because of this insubordination and consequences it had brought upon the system, President Lee has been placed on administrative leave, Garcia wrote. I want to acknowledge how deeply concerned I am about the impact the statement has had on the Sonoma State community and how challenging and painful it will be for many of our students and community members to see and read. The heart and mission of the CSU is to create an inclusive and welcoming place for everyone we serve, not to marginalize one community over another, she added. Lee sent another email late Wednesday announcing his leave and acknowledging the agreement was a mistake. Oh, you think? You think, Mr. Lee? Do you think caving in to these terrorists on your own campus, these weak-kneed, wimpy, green-haired punk kid terrorists, caving into them and giving into their demands? Now, all of a sudden, because you got canned, you think it was a mistake? Ugh. Anyways, let me go on. Goes on to say, my goal when meeting with students at the encampment was to explore opportunities to make meaningful change, identify common ground, and create a safe and inclusive campus for all. I now realize that many of the statements I've made in my campus-wide message did just the opposite. That's because you're a liberal. That's because you're a liberal. He said, according to the Press Democrat, in my attempt to find agreement with one group of students, I marginalized other members of our student population and community. I realize the harm that it has caused, and I take full ownership of it. Stephen Bittner, chair of SSU's history department and director of its Center for the Study of Holocaust and Genocide, told the Press Democrat that he was completely blindsided by the provisions in the agreement Lee made with protesters. The academic boycott of Israel is atrocious and morally reprehensible, in my view. He told the outlet before Lee was placed on leave, it is contrary to the values of scholarly freedom and free exchange that are supposed to be at the center of any university. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, I wanted to bring this out because this is what we're facing with all this nonsense. Instead of cracking down on these, how am I going to say this, ladies and gentlemen? Because I do my best, believe it or not, to be more politically correct in my dissertation and the way I speak to and about people, but there's sometimes I just can't. So let me just say it the way I would say it if I was talking to a friend in a room. So you and me, ladies and gentlemen, we are alone in a room. We are just talking. We are conversing. We are having some communique. And I'm just sharing my thoughts and opinions with you, my friend. Instead of caving to these idiots, Mr. Lee, why didn't you call the police and have them go down there en masse and drive these people off your campus? And if they refuse to go, you round them up. You first spray them with some pepper spray, and then you lock them up behind bars and let for a long time and let them think about their stupid life choices and their stupid life decisions. Mr. Lee, why don't you grow some, get a backbone, and do what you were hired to do and run that school, not cave in to these wimps, these terrorists, these weak-minded people? I mean, you should be ashamed of yourself that your school turned that out to begin with, let alone caved into them. But it makes sense, because if your school is turning that out, of course you're going to cave into what you created to begin with. So you should not be just on leave. You should be fired and everything stripped from you. You should have no retirement, no benefits, no nothing, Mr. Lee. You should start learning to live out and you go earn a living for once. You cave in, you're a coward. Jeez. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, let me get my blood pressure back in order. But that's what I feel about these types of things. That's what I feel about these things. If I'm not going to laugh at them, I'm going to tell you exactly what I feel. I'd rather laugh at them. That's more fun. But Mr. Lee, was it Ming Tung? Was it Ming Tung Mike Lee? You're a disgrace. You're a disgrace to that university. You're a disgrace to that city, that county. You're a disgrace to the United States of America. I'm sickened by you, and I'm sickened by your foolishness. How dare you? How dare you? This is the same type of guy that wouldn't know how to discipline his own children. The four-year-old would be running the house. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, so this kind of nonsense is getting out of hand. But the good news about both of those articles is the first one, the Second Amendment, was finally, should have been originally, but fought for. And that gentleman was released and given back his citizen rights completely and totally, as if that never happened. And at least somebody had the wherewithal to put this Ming Tung Mike Lee on leave. And I don't think it should be paid leave at all. The dude needs to be fired. He needs to be canned completely across the board. Completely across the board. They're not going to do anything academic with Israel, okay? Our ally. Peaceful ally. Our peaceful ally. But they'll certainly do that with people that are cutting people's heads off in the Middle East. Jeez. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, it's strange. Watching this is so strange. Is this the United States of America that I read about, that I grew up in? I mean, the answer, of course, obviously, is no, it's not. This is not the America I even grew up in. And I'm still here breathing and speaking. That wasn't so long ago. We never had problems like this. We had never had issues like this. I remember going to a ball game or to a race or anything like that when they had the national anthem or the Pledge of Allegiance, everybody stood, unless you just physically weren't able to. Every man, unless you were in the military saluting, took off his hat. Everybody put their right hand over their heart. Everybody said the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody sang along to the national anthem. And then when it was over, everybody cheered the greatest cheer of the night. And we still are seeing that in some places a little bit, but it bothers me. Last time, the last few times, actually, we've been to certain things. There's dudes up there not even standing, not even taking off their hats. I want to push them off the bleachers. Un-American pukes. It's time that we get back to who we are really supposed to be as a people. Who we are supposed to be as a people, you know, and not allow these dimwits to run our country, let alone anything else. As I said earlier, and I say it again, I said this not earlier in this podcast, but in an earlier podcast just recently. You watch, there's going to be a huge upset come November and leading up to it. From about July on, you're going to see upset after upset, turnover after turnover. And as God begins to move us back to the place that we really truly need to be. And after November, oh my gosh, you just watch. Heads are going to fly. Oh my gosh. And I know they're already panicking, and the liberals are already trying to set things in place to offset this and protect themselves. But very little protection is going to be given to them. I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you just watch. There's going to be some interesting things happening. You just watch. You just watch. Anyways, God bless you all. I'm so glad that you tuned in. And until next time, I'm praying for you. Thank you for joining us at Table Flippers. Please email me at gwccrobert@gmail.com. gwccrobert@gmail.com. Now go out and have a table flipping day. Should I have said have a Chippalicious day?
Chippalicious? Now you're talking.
Say goodbye, Chippy.
Say goodbye.